5 on 5 on Radio RT. Carl Dieter is a name you'll know. He's from the Irish Mortgage Brokers, and he's on programmes throughout the day giving advice on mortgages and whatever. But there's a whole other side to Carl Dieter. He's a musician. He has an interesting life story, so we decided to find out more about the other side of Carl Dieter. Right. So, Carl, good afternoon.
How are you?
Good. So, you're just released your third album.
Yeah, it just came out this week. It's called Black Sheep, and this one is it's a bit more like punk and new wave. A lot of the stuff I write would otherwise be kind of more Americana and folk based.
Right.
I still play in bands, play shows every week, and in that I would normally be playing bluegrass. So I play guitar and double bass.
And did you only start writing stuff or recording stuff after your dad died?
Oh, no. Like, when my dad died, that helped inspire me to go out and start actually recording stuff,
yeah,
and putting it down, because a lot of his life wasn't recorded. And he'd had a fairly colourful life. He'd been a race car driver. He'd, gone off, fought in the Korean War, had done a load of things. He was homeless when he was 7 and he was taken in by Mormons up in the hills. And just this life story that I wish I wrote some of this stuff down. I don't have it. And so I figured that I could at least record some of my songs. No, I've been writing songs for about 25 years. I started doing that when I was in school, and there was a Franciscan monk who told me, you've got a bit of a gift in poetry. You should keep doing that. It's a good thing. It's, keep that up. And then as I started to learn music, I started to put the poetry to the music, and that was my songwriting career born. So I've been doing it a very long time. I have about 300 songs, but I've only recorded about 25 of them.
Right, and Black Sheep is the name of the new album. We'll give them just a blast of the title track.
Okay.
Right, here we go. I like that.
Yeah, I'm tickled pink. That's the first time I've been played on radio.
I like that.
Yeah. I do too. That's why I got it.
And you're singing from the heart because you were a bit of a black sheep growing up.
Yeah. Well, not fitting in. I think a lot of musicians kind of fall into that category. And you can find a certain amount of solace in music, a certain amount of a way to get yourself through a lot of different things. For me, leaving the USA as a child, I came from a place where my sports were, baseball and surfing. I came to Ireland in the mid-80s.
What age were you?
Completely didn't fit in. I was nearly 11.
Okay.
And straight into a situation where I would have gotten bullied a lot. And that kind of leaves you with a lot of weird anger things that you can sometimes carry with you, right through your life, where even nowadays, if I see someone getting bullied, it really bothers me, even though it might just be a small incident. So
what shape did the bullying take?
Getting bet up.
Was it?
Yeah, good traditional 1980s Irish culture. Yes. Yeah, getting
no smacked. Trolling. No, there was no trolling or anything.
This is before, Facebook comments or any of that kind of stuff. So then I went.
Why
on.
Do you think you were picked on? You're a new boy in town.
New boy in town. I was quite dark. Like I am a white man, but coming from a place where it's always sunny, I had white hair and very brown skin, weird accent, much different than other people, didn't have the commonality of certain sports. I have this thing called Tourette's syndrome as well, which has always been my little kind of monkey on my back. So I'd be sitting in a corner twitching away. I don't scream curse words, by the way. People should know that Tourette's doesn't mean that you scream curse words. That's what you see on the TV. But amongst people who have it, normally it's tics and certain obsessive compulsive disorders and things like that. You don't necessarily start shouting out inappropriate stuff.
So you've tics?
Oh, yeah. I'll be blinking, moving my head. When I lived in Chicago later on, it saved my life a lot of times because I'd be catching the train home late at night and people would be like, I'm not mugging that guy. This crazy. but for the most of the time, it's just something that it would get you slagged up.
What causes Tourette's?
Don't really know.
Mm.
It's been around for a long time. They thought that Mozart had it because he used to make barking sounds and stuff. If you care to Google it, you can find out that there's a lot of people that kind of had tics and twitches and things, but it doesn't kill you. So I figure it's a much smaller burden to carry than people who might have congenital heart diseases or anything like that.
But as an 11-year-old and in your teen years, it must have been tough.
Yeah, but I figure your teen years are tough anyway. Like, I've never met anyone who said, I loved
who sailed through
the comforting change of my teenage years. So that was, you know, I dealt with it mostly through music. I would have listened to a lot of punk and heavy metal. And like I said, I took up music. I used to play in a grunge band. And some of the guys in that, they've moved on. And they're like me now. We have like serious jobs. You know, my friend Rob Mooney, he's a lecturer in sociology now.
Yeah.
And all these...
You're a financial advisor.
Yeah.
You're a dad of three children.
Yeah, yeah. And I write for a few papers, wrote a book last year, I teach kids gymnastics and... Mm. You know, so I keep busy and
I'm just, who, your mum and dad, which was Irish?
My mother was from Colester.
Right.
And my dad came over to buy a car in the UK in 1964. And he wanted to be the first one with this thing called an MGB Roadster. So he had to go there to get it. And when he picked it up, he came over to Ireland. And he was walking home from town one day with a friend of his named Harry Gearn, who's since passed away. And they were parched. And Harry said, look, we should call in here. I know this lady. She'll give us a cup of tea. So Harry knocks on the door. And just to mortify my mother, says, oh, this is Ken. He's over from America. He's looking for a wife. I said that you do. I said you could get married. I'd be the best man and godfather to the first child. Well, my mother nearly dropped dead at hearing this.
Right.
That's actually how it all worked out.
That's exactly
what happened.
And then over to California then. For what? Why the move to California?
They would have moved back in 1964. My mother spent 22 years over there, so we were all born there, all kind of raised there. And then in the 80s, my dad had a lot of success in the racing business, and he also had a heart attack. So he really paid the price. People don't understand the racing business or the racing sport of motor racing. It's brutal, and the Irish connection there was actually he was using a car that's made in the north of Ireland called a Crosley, which they were winning all the races. So things got really good from very quick. Decided, you know, there was a lot more gang activity in Los Angeles. Crack cocaine was becoming a bigger thing. He had four daughters. He just said, you know, I think I want out of here. I'm gonna pack it in while I still have some good life in me. And we came out and moved to Ireland. And that's how I arrived here. And I've kind of spent time going back and forth since.
But you have an Irish accent now. You sound Irish.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I suppose it depends. Sometimes I start sounding American. Sometimes I sound Irish. When I'm comfortable, I sound Irish. If you ever hear me and I sound American, it's usually a sign I'm stressed out. So
right. When you're stressed, does the Tourette's get worse?
Normally, yeah. Now you can control it a bit, but it's like saying to someone, don't think of elephants.
Yes.
And so it's that usual thing. So normally just try and be relaxed. Just try and, you know, take your time with stuff and you can handle it. Certainly when I listen to music, it almost switches off. I've never known why. It just...
And when you perform?
Turns off. Yeah, I'm not...
That mad,
I'm not
isn't it?
Sticking around the place. Yeah, not so much. Between songs I would, and then when I start playing, turns off again. Yeah. I think it must just use up all the electricity in your head and it just goes somewhere else, dissipates.
And you were saying you went back to Chicago.
Yeah.
Is that where the financial advisor came from?
Well, I used to work in a bar in South Chicago that was very close to the Board of Trade. And so a lot of the people that drank there were traders, and they used to explain how all the world of finance worked using shot glasses and olives. And I thought this was all very interesting. And then I left that bar, and I was working further out in the south side in an area called Bridgeport, which if anyone ever goes to Chicago, it'd be where the White Sox stadium is. And I was happy there, but my wife, who was then just my girlfriend, she couldn't get a green card. So I started to think, oh, maybe I'll move back. I moved back in late 1999. I just fell into a funk, and then... shortly after that, a friend of mine was murdered outside the bar I worked in. And that just really got to me.
In Chicago?
Yeah. Yeah, my friend Dave Ramirez, he was a real beautiful man. He was a wonderful guy. He was kind of skinny and dorky looking. And so people would always pick on him, thinking he was an easy target, not realizing that he was actually a champion boxer. And these three guys decided to start pushing him around a bit. They started shouting at him. He just... shouted back. Next of all, they're rolling around the floor holding their jaws, not knowing what the hell happened, because he could really take care of himself.
Yes, yeah.
But then a fourth one came over out of a car, shot him in the head. It was so stupid, such a waste. And so I decided I've got to get back to the US. I just wasn't fitting in when I came home. It's hard, like, even though I love Ireland, it's hard to fit back in. So I went over and I was working then running cable around these hillbilly towns in southern Illinois. And another friend of mine named Pat Niokas, he got murdered by his girlfriend. It was just like one thing, then the next. It was like, oh my goodness. And when Pat died, like he was another guy. Jeez, I still miss him now. You know, he really was. Carl, he had a big life to lead.
You have to write a book.
Yeah, you have to write a book. It made me want to live a lot more and to achieve things and do things and get serious about life. So that's actually when I kind of turned myself around and became a more serious person, trying to do things, came back, you know.
And you still sing punk, which is great.
Yeah.
Black Sheep is there to download. Carl Dieter, we'll talk again. Mary Wilson is on the way, and we're back tomorrow. At 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. And I'll